You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show.
Hello. Hey, guys. So if you are tuning in right now, this is the after show for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And this was a pretty good episode, so I'm not going to waste any time. Let's go around the table and everybody can introduce themselves.
Hey, guys. I'm Susan Hahn.
Where can they find you?
Oh, tweet. You can find me on Twitter at It's Susan Hahn.
And hey, everyone. It's Giselle Ugardi. You can usually find me live tweeting at Giselle Ugardi. Hopefully you can today if you're lucky, but my phone is dying.
Oh, so sucks.
Make sure that you hit up Marissa in the chat room if you're watching live, or also comment on YouTube because we're always interacting there.
Yes, we are.
And we love when you guys join in on the conversation.
Oh, yes. Wait. And then we are missing Mari Fagel, but she's always live tweeting during the show, and I think she might be live tweeting from home, so you guys can also tweet her, and we will get whatever tweets, you know.
And speaking of YouTube and interacting, I do have to give a shout out to The Madness Show, who always comments with us on YouTube.
Awesome. Well, we're going to do some more shout outs at the end of the show,
okay.
Too.
So, alrighty.
What else did I want to say? Clearly, you and I, we got the memo.
Clearly.
For Plaid.
Clearly,
I don't know what your invitation was.
Missed it.
You got
missed
lost it. In the mail.
Got lost in the mail.
I dyed my hair darker this weekend. I have this rock star, like, edgy thing going on
it looks
now.
Good.
It's just different for me.
It looks
we
good.
Like it.
Looks
we like it.
Claire, all natural instincts.
And I just want to remind you guys. Guys, be sure to download our podcast on iTunes. It's completely free. And please, 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 please rate us. I think we've got 4 stars right now. And make sure you make comments both on YouTube and on the podcast, because we always read your comments, whether they're good or they're bad. And some of you guys, you're writing like whole paragraphs.
And we love that.
And we love it. You're getting into it and you're putting your opinions in there. So please keep that coming. We really appreciate that. And without further ado, let's talk about Paris Part 2.
Petty.
So first let's talk about Models of a Feather Flock Together.
Aww.
Yolanda and Brandy both exchanging their stories of how they used to be models in Paris.
And looking all Brandy hot running around Paris in their Lululemon attire.
Exactly.
I'm just going to say this because you guys know I always have to keep it real. Scoot over because I'm driving that bus now, bitch. To say I love Yolanda.
Thank
in this,
you.
In this episode.
Okay.
I mean, I'm on the wagon.
Mm-hmm. Thank
yeah,
you.
I'm on the wagon.
I loved Yolanda this episode.
Yeah.
I always knew there was hope for her there.
Yes. Yes.
And Brandy. Even more so than ever, I love me some Brandy.
They were both just so great in just keeping it real, mm-hmm. in being mature. You know, you see Brandy really bonding with Kim. You see Yolanda in nicer terms telling Lisa to shut the fuck up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When she's trying to stir the pot.
Right.
And mm-hmm. are we going to get to that right now?
We're going to get to a little later.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say about Yolanda, yes, it took everybody a while to get on the Yolanda train, but I think with every single episode, she's getting a little bit strong. Well, I don't want to say stronger. That's the wrong word. I just think she's she observes and then she like makes her move, and that's what she's doing. She's getting to know the ladies better. They're getting to know her better, and she's really inserting her opinions. And
she's a different kind of fun too.
Mm-hmm. She is.
You know, you see her not, you know, saying how she used to milk cows and chase chickens around, mm-hmm. and that kind of a thing. And mm-hmm. so you see that she is willing to get her hands dirty. And
right.
you see her teasing, you know, playing over the balcony and stuff. And mm-hmm. the girls are like, what are you doing? But she has a different kind of free spirit fun that doesn't need to get wasted.
I think the other I think the other thing that I really like about her is that she actually did come from humble beginnings. You know, we've heard her talk about, you know, she lived on a farm and she had to do things on her own. So she really had to work hard. So even though we see this woman married to David Foster in this beautiful palatial Malibu home with horses and stuff, it's nice to know that it wasn't always that way for her. So,
I mean, I have to say that, you know, Yolanda still, you know, definitely throws out her condescending remarks, but mm-hmm. I can appreciate her now. I can appreciate her. And I think, like you just said, I think she kind of waited and she observed and then she, you know, she finally like made her move. And I can appreciate that about her.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I like her dynamic and Brandy a lot. Mm-hmm. It's just really nice. Almost like the same thing that we're getting with Brandy and Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, Brandy and Lisa. I meant to say Lisa. But I don't know. It's just,
I like Brandy and Kim too, though, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny how last season, you never would have thought those two would ever be friends.
Which two?
Brandy and Kim.
Yeah. You know? Obviously.
So,
yeah.
But interesting. Moving on. So let's cut to Kyle and Mauricio.
Okay. Well, you and I cover a different show.
Yes.
And we just saw this bridge. And I'm kind of feeling like we need to go there and put a lock on it.
I know. It was
lock your love.
Lock our love and throw the key away.
And just to tell the viewers, just in case you don't watch Kim and Courtney Take Miami, on the last episode of that show, they went to Paris. And there was a scene where Courtney and Scott, they were on the Lover's Bridge, the same bridge that Kyle and Mauricio were on, and they made a lock and put it on the bridge, put their names on it. So, and we were actually talking about, too, okay, what's going on with all these reality shows being in Paris? Mm-hmm. You know, is there some kind of Paris conspiracy happening? But it was kind of interesting that they did the same thing. So, and how romantic was it that he had, you know, Mauricio had a lock ready to go. And
this is a Mauricio that I love and adore. This is a Mauricio that we usually see, not the Mauricio that kind of, you know, got out of.
Behaves like Kyle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this is a Mauricio that, you know, I'm really, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about something else. But yes, this is a Mauricio that we love and we adore, and I'm so glad that we got to see him in full effect.
Mm-hmm. And we got to see him in swim trunks, too.
Oh, yeah.
If only he had his shirt off.
I tell you, Kyle.
I had to say it.
Kyle has a good one. He's such a good man, you know, and we'll get to some more stuff later. But the fact that he, you know, bought Kim that bag in the store, and for whatever reason, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I did.
I knew that was going to happen because she kept looking at the bag and she was modeling it in the mirror.
And he kept looking at her looking at the bag.
I knew that was going to happen.
But that's just a wonderful brother-in-law.
That's amazing. It's really amazing and supportive and all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
If only we all had a Mauricio. Well, I kind of have a Mauricio. Okay.
Anyways, moving on.
Anywho, moving on. All right, so let's get to the meat of this episode.
Talk about that later.
Stirring that pot. All right, I got a couple things to say about that. For starters, I finally think maybe it's time for everybody to lay up on Kim.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because she's been through a lot. She's gone through rehab. She's really trying to change her life. And it was this episode that I was like, wow, I was really feeling her pain in the sense that every time she doesn't show up or maybe she's, you know, tired, like what happened on the show, or she's in the bathroom, everybody assumes that she's drinking or she's popping pills. And it's like, isn't it finally time for people to believe in her? What do you guys think?
I mean, I feel like, you know, we're guilty. I mean, we assume that. That, you know, when she acts a little kooky, she's on something or she fell off the wagon or she relapsed. And I felt so bad. And I just, in this episode, I felt so, like, compelled and so compassionate towards her because at the end of the day, she's a human being.
Right.
And, you know, the whole Lisa talking about her while she's right there really upset me. It's like, you know, yes, Kim messed up in her life. And yes, she's been through a lot. And I mean, it just, I feel like even as viewers, we keep knocking her down.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what? At the end of the day, it's her battle. And I mean, it's just, especially her friends, her sister, they need to support her.
Yeah.
And they can be worried for her. But I feel like they're kind of almost anticipating for her to fall back.
And I can see how that could make it easier for somebody who's, you know, just out of rehab and really trying to, you know, keep on the straight and narrow. That's enough to drive somebody back to their old habits and ways. Because it's almost like, well, if you already think that I'm drinking, then maybe let me just give you what you think, you know?
On the one hand, I think we should definitely you know, lay off Kim a little bit because she has been doing so well, mm-hmm. incredibly well. You know, she's having these parties at her house and mm-hmm. she's developing all this confidence and that kind of a thing. At the same time, she was exhibiting behavior that was very, very strange. Mm-hmm. And it was very uncomfortable to watch.
Right.
And so I get the how maybe Lisa was a little hard on her to joke on a sensitive subject that was still very touchy.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, the rolling of the eyes and her tongue coming weird out of her mouth and not putting together full sentences and talking to herself, you know, that's what Kim was like when she was abusing substances. Yeah. And so, if anything, you know, them being supportive is demonstrating some sort of concern and curiosity to make sure that she's okay. And I don't think Lisa did it in the best way. Mm-hmm. And I don't like how Lisa continued to tell her story over and over and over and wanted to keep on picking and picking and picking.
Mm-hmm.
And she also never really particularly apologized for what she said either when she knew that what she said was wrong.
Well, let's talk about that. Do we really think that Lisa was genuinely concerned about Kim and her welfare, or was it more about just, you know,
here goes Hawaii.
Exactly. Trying to bring up old things, you know, and not really move on. Do we really think that she cared about her? Because who was it? Yolanda, she made a good point. It was the next day and she said, well, here's a sign. Did she even call you to check on you to see how you are? And the answer was no. So
what bothered me was on the bus when Kim and Kyle were having their heart to heart, it was kind of like, you know, just give me a minute. You know, she's bawling her eyes out. She's asking for a minute. And it's like, all right, give her a freaking minute. You know, it's like she just wouldn't take kind of no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Lisa genuinely does care about Kim, but at the same time, she has to a point. But it's also kind of like, yeah, I think maybe it's easier to see Kim fail than for her to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't like how she kept on being like, oh, well, if you want, I'll cancel it. And she's like, no, I don't want you to. Just give me a minute. I will be fine. And I didn't like how she kept on wanting to cancel it. And that just, it just rubbed me the wrong way, the way that she was approaching that situation.
Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know if this is due to editing, but I really did not like Kyle's little testament where I don't want Kim and Lisa's drama to affect my relationship with Lisa. And I was like, hold up, lady. This is your sister.
Yep.
There is no drama, but you're already stating the fact that if something ever went down, you wouldn't be on Kim's side.
You wouldn't have your sister's back. Yeah. I caught that too, and I didn't like that, you know, because basically she's just saying, well, you know, I'm going to stay out of it, you know, and whatever's happening between Lisa and Kim, I'm not going to be in it, which goes back to, and we're going to get to this next, but it goes back to Kyle's relationship with Lisa, you know, with Lisa knowing that she'll never have her back. Well, she just proved it. She doesn't even have her sister's back.
What do you guys think about Lisa's relationship, not just with Kyle, but with Kim? Because I thought she was going a little back and forth in this episode. Because her and Ken went shopping with Kim, and I kind of felt like every time Kim opened her mouth, Lisa was just giving her this look like she wasn't really listening. She was just kind of judging her.
Mm-hmm.
And then here she is saying that her relationship with Kyle isn't really the same and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then we'll talk about it later, but, you know, then her and, you know, Kyle have this intense conversation where clearly there are grudges being held, even though they supposedly let them go.
Right.
And then she goes the other way and is talking to Kyle about her concern about Kim and wanting to be, it's just very...
Right, like their friendship, their little outing didn't seem genuine.
Yeah, it didn't seem genuine, and it seemed like she was saying that she cared a lot about Kyle, but Kyle didn't care about her. And then over here, she's saying that she cares so much about Kim, but then she's not really showing...
Well, and, I mean, you bring up a good point, because one of Kim's arguments, she said, well, look, you know, I spent the whole day with Lisa and Ken, you know, so she made it seem like, you know, she's been in her room sleeping all day and, you know, she's just waking up. She said, I was with them from 9 to 6. Heaven forbid she gets tired and falls asleep.
I don't think she said from 9 to 6.
Or she was with them for a good part of the day.
It doesn't matter how long you're there with. If a grown ass woman wants to take a nap, what is a problem?
Right.
If she overslept, I can understand there might be a little concern, but to kind of blow it out of proportion and then to hound her in the bus and then to kind of like just to keep adding fuel to that fire, it's enough. It's enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that just makes me, you know, back to the question, does Lisa care about Kim at all? That just makes me think that, you know, maybe she could, you know.
I love Lisa, but this episode, I kind of saw her in a different light. I kind of saw her as instigating Lisa, kind of stirring the pot Lisa, kind
judgy
of
Lisa.
Judgy Lisa, insensitive Lisa, a calculated Lisa.
Calculated.
I agree.
And I saw Yolanda come into the lights, you know, I saw...
I got on the bus,
you know, and Brandy's always been in the light, but even more so, like, Brandy was like, no, I think we should just... I mean, Brandy called it, and it's just like, you know, this is why we love Brandy so much, because she was just like, you know what, I think... I mean, she just knew, she understood where Kim was coming from, and it was Brandy who was like, no, I think we should just let them be, and even
with... how the tables turned. Normally, it's Lisa telling Brandy, let it be.
But even with that, Lisa went over to the bus, and I was kind of like, you know, you could have just know your place sometimes, you know?
And then at the same time, it's like Lisa, she was there for those moments on those trips, you know, with what went down with Kim. So why isn't that she didn't have that same revelation that Brandy did about it, you know? Didn't make sense.
Producers.
True, you know, we could have lost something to the edit, but I don't know. Some things just...
Edit, but the producers could be like, oh, Lisa, you should go on the bus and check on...
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Kyle and Kim.
Right.
No. I think you should. It sounds like she wants to talk to you.
Okay, but how far are we going to take this? Is this really someone's character, or is this producers kind of telling them what to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
well, I will say that I have heard, you know, multiple times, especially on Watch What Happens Live, or, you know, actually not Watch What Happens Live. That's the last place where they would say it. But whenever a lot of these Bravo stars go on TV, especially the new ones like the Most Eligible Dallas, and there was the one in San Francisco, and they were actually comparing how they had met some of the castmates of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and said how... with these new reality shows, they're having to film so much more because they're still not really sure what the producers want. And how when they're given advice or when they talk to these housewives from Beverly Hills, they say how they go in, they know they're going to shoot, they know what the producers want, they get it, and then they're out. So they know that they're supposed to be kind of giving what they want.
Interesting. I don't know.
Which I think is, you know, like we were talking about with Taylor, about how it kind of seems like she's putting on a show.
I don't know.
Or she's a hot mess.
I do believe to a certain extent, once they figure out what character, quote unquote, I'm doing that in air quotes, what character they want you to be, it's easy for them to...
Right, but this is season three.
Yeah.
It's like they should have figured that out in season one, you know?
True.
And yes, I think that Taylor is a hot mess, but I don't think that producers would put her on as pretending to have a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Because that's just disgusting. I mean, her husband committed suicide.
Yeah.
And if producers kind of put her up to that, I just don't think that.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, that's just not okay.
Moving on.
Let us know what you think if you're watching.
Yeah. Tweet us. Call us. We usually get, like, at least a call show lately.
You know, remember who called us last week? Taylor?
Yeah.
That's our Taylor that interacts with us all the time on YouTube.
Taylor, call us.
I know. I told her. That's Taylor Hawkins, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah. That was the Taylor that called. And I feel bad that we were all like, hello, Taylor. I was taken aback because she totally sounded like you and talked like you. That's why I was like, Giselle.
Well, I was here.
I know, but I was like, is that your friend?
All right. It's funny. I've got a few shout outs from viewers, and she's one of them today.
Okay.
But, all right. So time to talk about Tower Trouble. So Kyle and Lisa, you know, have yet another moment with each other. Here's what I'm going to ask you guys. Like, do you think, A, was it necessary for Kyle to bring it up yet again? Because I feel like, haven't we already, like, been over this between those two, like, with their relationship? Because even to Lisa's point, she said, you know, I thought we already went over this. I thought, you know, we had all our issues out on the table.
Lisa brought it up this episode, too.
True.
You know, yeah. Lisa brought it up with Kim. So even though I really liked the word that you used, is that I really felt like Lisa was very calculated this episode. And even in her words, the way that she was handling things with Kyle, you know, little things like Kyle's like, well, if you haven't said I love you, like she could tell, like Lisa was clearly leaving things out. And she says that Kyle's the one being distant, but Lisa's being pretty cold too.
Yeah.
Agreed. This episode, this whole Paris trip started out at the airport with Marissa having to cancel because her father-in-law passed away unexpectedly. And these were the words out of Kyle's mouth, like, you know what, us ladies fighting over this dumb shit. It's just like, it's so pointless because life is so short and it's so unexpected. And here we are in Paris crying on the Eiffel Tower because one of your friends is acting a little strange to you. You know what? They had this conversation at Lisa's house. They had this conversation.
Right.
Kyle said her piece. Lisa said her piece. It's like, get on with it.
Right. Is it not over and done with?
And then it's like, you only have room for Brandy. My goodness, woman. If that's the most relevant thing in your life right now, then I feel sorry for you. It's like, for those words to come out of her mouth is just kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It's like, why does that matter? You know, and Lisa said, because, you know, I mean, Brandy has always been loyal. She's only shown me loyalty. And Lisa's problem with Kyle is that Kyle hasn't shown her loyalty. So what is there to talk about?
Right.
What's the difference?
She knows who she is.
Whether you talk about it in Beverly Hills, California or Paris, France, it's the same thing.
Right. I have this phrase I like to use. I say, when people show you who they are, believe them. And I think that's a perfect phrase for their relationship. For Kyle has shown Lisa who she is, mm-hmm. that she doesn't have her back. You know, that's just how she is. Either you're going to choose to believe her and take her for what she is with your friendship, or you're not. And same with you know, Kyle and Lisa, you know, vice versa.
I think it's that they've seen each other in the past, though, where they have been there for each other. So they're holding on to what they used to have, unfortunately. And so
it's not happening
anymore. I feel
like
that's who they really are, not this new person who's distant and, you know, impartial.
For me, I feel like as not outspoken, but as opinionated as Kyle is, the moment for me was when Brandy was cursing out Mauricio. Kyle did not interject. Kyle did not stop it. Kyle did not defend her husband. Whether her husband was in the right or wrong, if somebody was in my husband's face like that, it would not have gone down like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, okay, Kyle, like, you have so much to say. You're so opinionated. But I kind of feel like, I don't know why she does defend Adrian all the time, but she takes a step back even with her own husband and her own sister.
She was defending Mauricio a little bit in there, but I think she just didn't want to get involved at all. Because
involved.
She never wants to get involved.
And she keeps saying that, but yet it's almost like she fuels the fire even more by not being involved. So I don't know. It's like a lose-lose situation, I think, in a lot of ways. But who knows? But then, you know, she stirs the pot by bringing up, she was the one that kept on bringing up the Adrian thing, but then all of a sudden she'd let everyone else fight and she'd back off.
I don't know. I do love Kyle, but
I love Kyle too.
I love Kyle too.
It's chick needs to relax and have a seat.
Yeah, I don't know. Especially given, you know, your point you just said, some, you know, Marissa's father-in-law just passed away. Like, let's, you know.
Mauricio and Ken threw it under the bridge.
Well, because that's how men do it. Men and the way men and women are when it comes to, you know, fights and confrontations, they handle things very differently.
Generally speaking, I'm not that way.
Well, they say their piece and they can go have a beer with each other and it's done. You know, the next day you move on. But women, like, not all women, I'm not trying to stereotype, but like, we like to hold grudges and you carry things on and you just, you know, you don't completely forgive. You know, so I don't know. Any other great moments you guys want?
Yes, I didn't appreciate the duck.
Oh.
That just made me so sad.
Poor little ducky.
You don't eat duck?
And I love Kim's, what did we call it last week? Her little, Kim's little isms. She's like, Ali, you know, as long as the ducks.
Oh, as long as he's not like quacking or
while
something.
They're whacking.
Yeah.
While they're whacking.
Yeah. I mean, Kim always has these little Kim-isms. She's hilarious.
I liked how Brandy was flirting with the chef.
I love how Brandy
She flirts with everybody.
Always, period.
But I love it. Yeah. Yeah, she's cute. And then
there were so many sexual innuendos with the duck.
Oh, yeah.
The duck and the cherries.
Oh, and Lisa saying, is this your first time to Yolanda?
On top.
On top.
Yeah. A lot of
Lisa's on top. You've never been on top?
That's not what I heard. That's not what she said. Are we missing anything else?
Oh, I feel like we got a lot of good juice and meat. I don't know. What do you think, Giselle?
I want some duck.
You want some duck?
Mm-hmm. Some foie gras.
Duck
That's
is really
illegal
good.
In California.
Is it?
Yeah, foie gras.
Really?
Do you know what Ravioli is? I've eaten it.
Isn't it like calves,
Katsuya.
Liver?
No, it's duck liver. It's,
yeah, so they like force feed the duck to get it super fatty, and that's the duck liver. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I do love me some frog raw.
I didn't know it was illegal.
Yeah. I think it's probably, maybe is it illegal to produce? Because I've had it, I've only ever had it in California.
There was like a ban. So maybe it's illegal to produce it. I don't know. But
no fat ducks in California, you guys. No. So are we, I know. There's something that we're really excited about.
I'm so excited.
What are we excited about?
We're going to the movies.
Going to the movies.
Movies.
All right, you guys. So this coming Friday, March 8th, it's a very exciting big day.
Drum roll, please.
So the theatrical release of Serial Buddies. It's this hilarious new comedy. It's produced by our AfterBuzz TV founders, Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro.
Yay!
It's going to be released in select cities this coming Friday. I think it's like 8 cities, New York, Chicago, Boston, San Francisco. I feel like I'm leaving something out. Boston. It's got a great cast. Let me read the cast. Obviously, Maria Menounos is in it. If you guys watch Two Broke Girls, Beth Bears is in it. Artie Lang. Anybody listen to
Howard's?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd. Kathy Lee Gifford.
Was it you that had the crush on Christopher Lloyd?
Ew, what the hell?
No, it was Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
How do you know I have a crush on Jeff
Goldblum?
Because
we talked about it during the
Hobbs. Christopher Lloyd,
sorry.
And there's one more Chris in the movie. It's Christopher McDonald. Essentially, the movie, they say that it's like Dexter meets Dumb and Dumber, and we really hope you guys support the movie, which in turn supports AfterBuzz, especially if you live in any of those cities. I know we plan on going to...
We're going to the one in Burbank.
We're
going
to go to the premiere, so make sure you check out Serial Buddies.
Can they check it online, either on AfterBuzz or on SerialBuddies.com or something to get more information?
Yes. You guys can check out Adventures-of-Serial-Buddies.com. And you can also go on to, I believe, Rotten Tomatoes. And you can leave ratings.
AfterBuzz TV.
And you can also go on AfterBuzz TV. And
the trailers and little sneak peeks are on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. So please support.
Yeah, please support, comment, go on Rotten Tomatoes, love us. We love them. We wouldn't be here without them.
Exactly, we really wouldn't. So it really supports all of us, and we're very supportive.
Let's go on an adventure.
Ooh, that was scary. So are we ready for some news and gossip?
I think so.
Candy Mountain, Charlie.
Okay, so we got some good news and gossip. I don't know if you guys
have heard,
but yesterday via Twitter, Adrian Malouf confirmed that she's not going to be returning to The Housewives for another season.
Bye, baby.
Hold on,
bye.
She's on this season?
Ha ha ha! Funny.
Anybody?
So here's her tweet. Her tweet is, to my loyal fans, it was time to exit, Housewives of Beverly Hills. The show served as a wonderful platform. Stay tuned. And she tweeted this yesterday. And also, another person who's not going to be returning is Camille. Now, technically, Camille wasn't a part of this season, but we saw quite a bit of her, up until, the past couple episodes. But I guess maybe we're not even going to see that anymore next season.
Oh, I love Camille.
And then something else that was interesting... there's a boycott for new cast members to come on this show. And I'll read something to you guys.
Let me guess. Faders.
Well, here, I'm going to read this. This is according to TMZ. I love me some TMZ. But it says... It says, according to TMZ sources, attorneys and managers of potential Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cast members are telling their clients not to sign on to the franchise. Now, the reason why is, it says... individuals can seemingly say absolutely anything that they want without any repercussions, based off of, Adrian and Camille. As they both complained over the years about other women lying about their business ventures and bringing up stuff with no legal recourse. So, I don't know. Basically,
so what does that mean?
That means that they're trying to, based off of, I wouldn't be surprised if Adrian is...
Behind this,
because of what just happened this season with Brandy saying the things that she said and Camille. Basically, it can affect any, high-profile person who might want to come on the show, because what's going to happen is, since Adrian's got her little claws in there, she's going to go to their managers or whatever and say, nope, you shouldn't do it. Because if someone were to say something about your life or your business or something like that, there's nothing you can do about it. And it's out there in the TV universe.
Well, that's reality TV.
Relax.
So
just because you are no longer loved on this show.
I mean, it's reality TV. It's, you know,
it is. And that's what you sign up for.
It's an assumption.
Exactly. And I mean, and our heart goes out for Adrian. I mean, we all agree that, you know, we felt bad for the kids.
Right.
But bye, bitch. Bye. I mean, what can we do? You know?
I didn't feel bad.
Okay.
So that's the latest and greatest. No more Adrian, no more Camille for next season. So it is interesting to figure out who's going to be replacing them. And let's see, outside of that, let's get to some fan comments. I pulled a few like great comments from YouTube and from the podcast just to give a little shout out to our fans. So first is Manx36. I'm not going to read his whole comment, but like I said, people really interact with us. Uh-huh. And they have a lot to say, and I think it's great. But he made a comment. He goes, you know, I find that it's better to look things up instead of just making things up. I like that line. Adrian Malouf's listed net worth is an estimated $50 million, and Lisa Vanderpump's is an estimated $65 million. Remember, I think we were talking about how much money they made. Mm-hmm. He says Adrian Malouf earns $200,000 per season for The Housewives, while Lisa makes $250,000 per season plus an additional salary for Vanderpump Rules. In the words of NeNe, Lisa is rich, very rich. So I like that he did his little research.
I thought the words of NeNe Leakes were I'm rich, bitch.
It is, but I love that Manx36. You did your homework, so thank you for your post. Another person, D. Leo on YouTube made some comments. I'm not going to go into everything, but he had some very strong opinions about our views on Taylor, actually. This is from 2 weeks ago. You know, like I said, that's what it's all about. You can agree, you can disagree, but mm-hmm. we're glad that you make comments.
Hey, we love when you disagree.
Yeah. Yep. And then Taylor Hawken, you called in last week, Taylor. Thank you. I love the first line of her comment. She says, I think everyone should take a moment to play the world's smallest violin for Yolanda, who can only afford one horse. Thank you, Taylor. She had some more things to say, but I think that's really
that
funny.
Again,
people are writing these like long paragraphs.
And we
like,
love it.
We love it.
Or sometimes not even the long paragraphs. It's like they reach the max on one and they have to jump.
Exactly. They have to keep going. That's awesome.
The best.
And then here are a few just from the podcast.
Yes, let's not forget our podcast.
Lisa L.A., her comment was, more than I love the show, I think I watched the show to follow the podcast. Like, thank you so much. That makes us warm inside. So we like that. And then one more from Aphrodite Wonder. This show is hysterical and fun. Thank you, Aphrodite Wonder. So I don't know if you guys have any other shout outs you want to, you know.
No, I mean, I just want to put out there, we are listening. We are looking. We check your guys's comments. We appreciate them, good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that helps us to bring
absolutely.
You guys better shows.
Right. And keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, share,
and rate us. And okay, I guess it's time for predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions.
I predict Kyle's going to cry again next episode. My goodness. Waterworks.
Well, they're still in Paris next episode, so we still got a little, you know, wee Paris. But another thing that we see is another confrontation between Taylor and Yolanda, and I feel like this one's going to be real good.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I am.
I would say the score is going to be Yolanda 7, Taylor -1.5.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
And I also think that Yolanda might be wearing white pants when it happens.
I know. She's always wearing white jeans.
White pants.
But she looks good. I mean,
Brandy.
White pants are hard to pull off.
They are.
And Brandy and Yolanda can pull them suckers off. Let me tell you.
Yeah, she's always wearing white jeans. You're so right, like always. But she's got this cute little body. Mm-hmm.
Brandy could go jogging in a string bikini and she'd look fine.
She probably has already done that. Yeah. And we just haven't seen it yet. But all right, guys, that's it for our after show today. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to check out Serial Buddies if you live in one of those big cities this Friday, and make sure you keep your comments coming in, and we'll see you next week. Where can we find everybody?
Please follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at It's Susan Hahn, and that's spelled ITSSUSANHAHN.
You can find me on social media at Giselle Ugardi. Pretty much every single one of my little extensions is at Giselle Ugardi. But also, I do have a vlog. It's Sprinting Stilettos TV on YouTube. And this week, I'm doing a CoverGirl giveaway. It ends on Friday, so make sure you check it out.
Ooh, what you giving away?
I have this whole Kim Kardashian-inspired look. So it's got eyeshadow, eyeliner, mascara, Club Crusher mascara, lipstick. It's fancy. So
I want one. Fancy, huh? So I'll plug my little stuff, too. You guys can follow me on Twitter at GoToGirlTV. That's G-O, the number 2, Girl TV. I also have a little something-something on YouTube. I have a show called The Stylish Finds, where it's, like, lots of fun deals and products and stuff. It's on YouTube, so just go find it, Stylish Finds. You can get a deal on a face mask right now.
Well, I'm starting a new thing on YouTube called Misguidance. It's in the works. And I'll let you guys know when it's up and running.
Woo, woo! Girl power.
All right, thanks. Subscribe because it's there.
Yeah, you can subscribe.
Subscribe. Thanks, guys, for watching. We'll see you next week.
Bye. From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.